Morning. The reading today is taken from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large, although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Well, I'm glad to say that I'm not going to be sharing on those verses. I'm going to invite Godfrey to come up and share on those verses. Come on, mate. I'm going to pray that, see what God's spoken to him about and around that. We're going to pray for Godfrey before he shares today. Let me pray for him. Lord, we thank you for Godfrey, and we thank you for his heart, for the things of you. We thank you for the word that you put on him this week to share with us. Lord, we pray that you would help him to be the vessel to encourage us and to challenge us today. And Lord, as he gives, may you fully, fully, abundantly bless him and give back to him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah. Actually, that's why I use PowerPoint, because my accent is known to European. It's known to. Our sister has just read for us a wonderful scripture, and that's what we are going to follow today, that speak life. That's our topic today. And we want to remind ourselves, because I know you know, but we just want to remind ourselves that thank you so much. We are looking at the power of the tongue, like what we have just heard in our reading. And that was the main scripture, as we are going to see. Can we proceed? Do you want to pronounce my name again? This one? The other one? The original one? The first one. Do you want to read it?
You read it.
The name. My name. I know you can read Godfrey. but the first one is really very complicated. Ntubiro. Yes, that's the real African name. Sir, can we proceed? Thank you so much. The main scripture is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat from it. Its fruit. We'll eat its fruit. So what does it tell us? That this verse reminds us that words are not empty. Whatever you speak, what we say, we can bless or wound, we can encourage or destroy. We can build faith or we can spread fear among ourselves. The tongue. I just want to look at this second part of the verse, that those who love the tongue will eat from it. What does it mean? That those who love it means those who enjoy using the tongue. When we speak, when we bless, when we complain, we gossip, or encourage, or pray, when we teach or confess, we shall eat the fruit of what our words produce. If we speak life, we eat the fruit of life. If we speak death, then we will eat the fruit of death. Here in black, we are saying our words are seeds. Our lives become the harvest. So that's what we are going to emphasize in this lesson, about 15, 20 minutes. We have said that your tongue is small. That's the main message. But it is powerful. I gave the example of a steering. When you are driving your car, it is a small thing. However huge the car, whether it is a bus or a huge same trailer, it can control and turn the vehicle everywhere. In the same way, the tongue can change the direction of a life. It can change a home. It can change a church and your tongue. You alone, not even a group of people. You alone. You can change the entire community by your tongue. I learned this personally the hard way one time. A friend lost a job because I spoke. That's the example I remember. He was my head in the department when I was working with the National Curriculum Development Center. He was a little bit not so friendly and was using a lot of powers, was corrupt and that kind of stuff. Then he told me we were doing some work and he got annoyed with me and said, I am going to ensure you lose your job. That's what he told me. That's what he told me. And I told him, I'm a son of God. Before I lose my job, you have gone already. It didn't take even 2 weeks. I felt sorry, and ever since, I don't speak anyhow because I learned the power of my tongue, and the Bible warns us a lot. So your tongue, I said here that the spirit world operates on a sound system. God speaks. Faith speaks. Prayer speaks. Ever since we arrived here in the morning, we are speaking. We are praising. We are producing sound. But also fear speaks. The question is, what sound is coming out of our mouth? We need to understand the power that God put in our mouth, because also God used the word to speak, to create. You create. We create as human beings. We create peace. We create so many things. In Genesis chapter 1, the world was dark, empty, without form. But God did not complain about the darkness. God said, let there be light. And there was light. This teaches us not only to describe darkness, but speak God's light into our dark situations. You are sick, you are troubled, your children are stubborn, whatever situation it may be, you must be careful that you speak life into it. But the easiest way is to speak death into the situations that surround us. So, as Christians, we must know who we are. We must know how powerful we are. Our strength, our power is on our mouth. Even when you are sick, don't say, I think I'm going to die. There's an example of a pastor in my country. He would preach every time telling people for him he wants to go to heaven. He didn't survive the COVID time. He actually went to heaven. Because every time he was preaching, he was telling people, and he was a young man, but he died because he talked about it. He prophesied it. He mentioned it. So we want to look at many examples of people in the Bible who spoke and what they spoke came to. Let's look at Caleb here. I believe you know this story, so I don't want to read it. And when Moses sent, were there 12 or 10 servants to go to spy? I think there were 12. The two, Caleb and is it Joshua? They saw giants as like the other spies, but the two groups spoke differently. Two people said, "We can do it." The other team said, "We can't." They even looked at themselves as grasshoppers. So situations made them speak, define themselves as almost nothing. So situations should not let us speak or force us to speak badly or wrongly about ourselves. So faith does not deny the challenge. We can't deny the challenge. When I'm sick, I'm sick. That is true. But faith simply says God is greater than the challenge. We must not let fear give us a smaller name. What did the 10 spies say? The 2 said different things from the 10. The 10 said, "We seemed like grasshoppers," in our eyes, our own eyes. Their negative report spread fear throughout the whole camp. Words of unbelief can shrink people. They can poison a community, and they can delay the journey people on the way. They can delay the destiny of people. Let's look at David. We are looking at the power of our tongue, the power of speaking, positive speaking. Goliath spoke for 40 days, and the entire Israel army was quiet until David came. He responded with the sound. He responded by speaking also. What did he say? "I come against you in the name of the Lord." So, and before he threw the stone, he released the word. What are these things Trump is using in the Middle East? Are they, what do you call them? Those bombs, those missiles. I'm looking for the word missiles. The word is a missile. It can turn anything. It can turn anything upside down. That's why one person stands and prays for the whole country. One person like this. That's how powerful our tongues can be. And many times when fear speaks in our lives, faith must answer. Faith is the opposite of fear. Whenever I find fear, I remember when we had just arrived in this country, 3 years ago, the company that gave us a job was, its license was revoked. And the point was we had to go back home. But remember, we have a family, and now go back home. I had resigned a job of about £1,500. That money in Uganda is almost £5,000 here. If you spend it there, it is more. Then I told my wife, no, we are not going to allow this man fear in our lives. So our entire prayer was just focused on one thing, nothing else, to arrest fear. The moment you arrest fear in life, then all things are going to move normally. But the moment you allow it to reign, then everything you are going to do next is going to be gambling, and many times we fail because of fear. Fear takes away our faith. So I'm giving another example of Hannah, who prayed through pain. Hannah was deeply hurt. You remember her co-wife was a big problem. But she did not turn pain into bitterness. She poured out her soul to the Lord, and her pain became prayer, and God gave her one of the most known prophets, Samuel. So when we are wounded, we must pray before we complain. Let's look at another example. This is another woman, Shunammite woman. When her son died, the woman still said, "It is well." You know where you get the strength to say it is well when your son is dead. It takes faith. And she did not deny her pain, but she refused to let pain have the final word. Faith says God is still present, even in this sorrow. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." She did not wait for someone else to preach faith to her. She encouraged herself. We need to learn to encourage ourselves. And she reached out to Jesus. Of course, people were, and you know the history and what the Bible says. She was not even supposed to leave her house because it was she was unclean. She was not supposed to participate in community activities. But she said, "I will touch. I will just ensure I touch her, his garment, and I'll be." So we need to. So sometimes we must speak hope to our own hearts before we see what we aim to see. Another example is this centurion. He said, "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." He trusted the authority of Jesus' word. What are we trying to remind ourselves? The word. What words come out of you in whatever situation? The words that come from you must be words that heaven accept. A word from Christ can calm fear. It can heal sickness. Speak against that sickness, you'll see. And it can restore what seems to be impossible. They are really very complicated situations. We have thousands of examples in Africa of very complicated situations, and you can't even remember how you survived that. When, for me, I grew up in times of war. There are situations you can't even explain. How did I survive there? However difficult a situation may seem, the word that comes from you may restore it to the positive more than anything. And there are so many examples. This blind man who called Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. People tried to silence him, but he shouted even louder. When the world wants to silence you, shout louder. The heaven will hear. A cry of faith stopped Jesus on the road. So we must never let shame, we must never let disappointment silence our prayer. We have to pray in all situations. So many examples. Samson, his final prayer. Do you know how he prayed? He said, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me. How many times? Once more. He said, strengthen me. Just once more. That is a prayer. This is similar to prayers we pray when we are timid, when we are not sure. Never pray this kind of prayer. He said, give me the opportunity to die with my enemies. And that's what happened. If he had prayed, Lord, give me the opportunity to kill these people and save my life, that's what would have happened. So many times when we are so stressed, when we are so troubled, we tend to speak and to reduce ourselves to the level of grasshoppers like the spies. This warns us that words spoken in prayer matter deeply. So we must speak to God with humility, with wisdom, and with surrender. Israel complained also. I mean, the entire Bible is full of stories about speaking. Life is about speaking. We speak it. Either we speak life or we speak death. Every minute, every day. So a Christian must be careful. What am I speaking? Because what you speak will come to pass. The Israelites saw miracles, yet their mouths were full of complaints. They complained about water, food, and the journey. A complaining tongue forgets yesterday's miracle and poisons today's faith. Gratitude keeps the heart soft before God. This lady. And this gentleman, the husband of Abigail, Nabal. What happened? David wanted help from him, and he spoke careless words. He spoke harsh words and foolish words. And his mouth nearly brought destruction on his whole household because David had resolved that they were going to destroy the entire community, because of carelessness. But Abigail spoke wisely. You see, there are two people. The other one speaks foolishness, and then another one comes to repair with the correct words. So one reckless tongue can start a fire. One wise tongue can save a home. There is also this wife of David. She despised her husband and spoke to him with contempt after he danced before the Lord. Contempt is dangerous because it looks down on what God may accept. A contemptuous tongue can bring barrenness to relationship, joy, and peace. Let's look at Peter. We shall have two examples from Peter. He spoke with a lot of confidence in that scripture. He said, even if all my friends run away from you, for me, I'll never run away from you. I'll be around. So his mouth promised what his strength could not carry. There is a difference between faith and pride. Faith depends on God. Pride trusts itself. We must speak humbly and lean on God's grace. There is also this situation when Peter was restored by Jesus. Peter denied Jesus 3 times by speaking. Later in John 21, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" This was not because Jesus lacked information. Jesus knew Peter in and out. He knew what he thought because Jesus is God. But he asked him, "Do you love me?" 3 times. Why? Because he was trying to help Peter to reverse the negative confession he had made. He made 3 negative confessions, and Jesus made sure he reverses the 3 negative confessions he had made and to replace them with a confession of love. If you remember, you said something negative about yourself, retract it. In the name of Jesus, you retract it. You clean it away. That's why denial 3 times. Do you love me? 3 times. 3 minus 3 equals 0. So what are we speaking? What do we speak over ourselves? To begin with, over ourselves. I'm unlucky. I'm weak. I don't know whether I will manage that one. I cannot pass that exam. The moment you say it, then that's what is going to happen. Heaven also says, okay, that's what he believes in, and we can't do much. So there is a lot that we are expected to do. What do you say about your children? However stubborn, however unruly, however, what do you say? What do you say about your community? How do you speak about your country? So our words should bless. They should encourage. They should guide. Our words should be words of healing. And they should help build faith. The mouth of a believer should become a fountain of life. So we are going to say this together as I come to the conclusion of our lesson today. Can we say this together? Lord, bless Sheraton, bless our streets and our homes, heal our families, strengthen the elderly, guide the young, provide the lonely, fill our churches with your peace. Help us not only to describe darkness, but speak hope into our community. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's also declare. Can we continue? Lord, help me to speak love. Help me to bless and not curse. Help me to build and not destroy. I speak life over myself, my family, my church, my community, and my country. May my tongue be guided by this Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, let's pray. Our closing prayer, we continue. Lord Jesus, forgive us for careless words. Cleanse our hearts and guide our tongues. Let us bring life, healing, peace, and hope. Bless our families, our children, our church, and our community. Make our mouth instruments of grace and truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we clap for ourselves? Thank you so much.
You know, I think that's a real word in season. One of the things you can say, and you think, come on. We're people of faith and hope. You know, there should be something different about what's in us than what comes out of us. And so I think it's a real word for us to take hold of, you know, and we're going to have to take hold of that when we go back into the situations that we face, the workplace and the home life and the street and the shopping queue and, you know, that kind of stuff, because the words that will be then around us will be different, and then we're called to be these fountains of life when actually all that there is, I mean, some of the radio stuff that I listen to, I think, my goodness. And they say it as if it's just, that's it. And I'm like, no, there is a different way of being and speaking. And because I'm a Christian. So something different has to come out of that place. So I think it's a real word in seed. And so thank you, Godfrey, for sharing that word. I pray that we grab hold of it as we live. We're going to respond a little bit in prayer, but we're going to sing. And I think just really appropriately, we're going to sing, I Speak Jesus. You know, it's a great song that captures, you know, we're speaking Jesus over our family and over our friends and over our communities, over our MPs and over our country. And even when I say that, you straight away you think, ooh, that's what the devil's trying to take us into. Come on, speak Jesus. Life, hope, expectation in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Let's sing. I Speak Jesus. Please be seated. You know, I still think when we're singing that, we're quiet. You know, I know we're not in Uganda. Even though we've been blessed to hear a Ugandan speak to us this morning. I just think we've got that whole sense of, I just think, you know, we talk about shouting the name of Jesus and we're just calm and say, I'm the same. I'm the same, you know, and I think we just need to shout, come on. I was speaking to somebody, well, I've spoken to a couple of people recently about when we speak something, the same what Godfrey was saying, when we speak it out, there's power in that. It breaks, it does stuff by speaking it out. When we speak out the name of Jesus, when we shout out the name of Jesus, there is awesome power in that. Don't be afraid. Don't be quiet. So I'm going to get you to shout Jesus, all right? I'm going to get you to shout Jesus, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. We're going to pray this. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. I want you to shout Jesus. I know you're British. I'm the same. If you were at the football, I bet you were shouting. In Arsenal, weren't you, yesterday, Jane? You were probably at the TV. Quiet Jane, she's not that quiet, but I bet when she was watching Arsenal, she was so quiet when they scored last night. You know, sometimes when things happen, we can shout, but we think, Jesus, we're in church, and we're, come on, shout the name of Jesus. Not because, you can say it quietly and you can shout, it's the same. But I think sometimes there's release in that, there's power in that, there really is. So I'm going to get you to do it 3 times. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and we're going to go, Jesus! All right? Yeah, that's it. Wake you up. Come on. Wake you up. That's it. All right? Somebody like, oh, my, you don't like this. I know you don't. I don't care. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, Jesus! 1, 2, 3, Jesus! 1, 2, 3, Jesus! Come on. And you can do that at home. You can do that when you're at home, when there's something going on. You can do that when you're going out for a walk or a run. Who cares? People are going, what is that bonkers person? All that. Your neighbours are wondering what is going on. But just proclaim and speak the powerful name of Jesus. I really was captured by, I think it was this one. There was a lot in there, but I really like this one. The Israelites saw the miracle, yet their mouths were full of complaint. Their complaint about water, food, and the journey. And we know that all that had gone on, how God had led them out of Egypt, and everything that had gone on, and the miracles and his provision, and yet they were still just complaining. A complaining tongue forgets yesterday's miracle and poisons today's faith. I thought that was so powerful. It robs us. When we complain, when we moan, when we're negative, when we're just captured by that. And we all do it, and I'm the same. But it robs us of the faith of what God wants to put in us and us to live by. Gratitude keeps the heart soft before God. That's some good words there. I pray that we would be that this week. You know, when we got cut off by somebody in a car, we say, Lord, would you bless that person? Don't grumble and complain and moan. You know, when your water bill hits and you think, you say, God, I thank you that I have clean water in my tap. You have a choice. We have a choice. We do. It's a choice. Life, death. We really do. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference to us. It makes a difference to the people that we're around. And it makes a difference in our world. I pray that we'll choose life in our words this week. That we won't get robbed from that poison of faith. And we won't forget we have an awesome God. You know, we have a lot to be grateful for. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you for the word today. I pray that we would carry that word forward into the world that we live in this week. Lord, I pray too, as I'm conscious that sometimes words can take a hold of our lives in a negative way. Maybe there are even people here that as words have been spoken to them, they have caused poison in their heart. Lord, would you bring your cleansing and your healing towards them? Would you set them free from the power of words that have been spoken negatively over them? Would you affirm in them your word and who they are in you? A child of the living God, loved beyond measure. Lord, help us to know that there is power this week in our words. And Lord, we can choose to complain and to grumble and to moan and to speak negatively, but we can choose faith. We can speak Jesus. We can speak life. I pray this week we would speak life and that we would know the difference in the well of our hearts, but those around us would see the difference and the world around us would see the difference as we speak boldly the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn together. Let's stand.